We're so happy that all of you decided to join us on this Christmas Eve. We look forward to being with you this hour. In the warmth and the beauty of this sanctuary, we are here to celebrate some very good news. The good news of Christmas, which the Bible says is simply, by this the love of God was revealed to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. We're going to talk about that life that comes from trusting Jesus Christ tonight. In these next few moments, we're going to sort of search the spiritual dimensions of Christmas as we listen to beautiful music, as we retell that beautiful story of our Lord's birth, and we enjoy those holy moments of lighting candles that somehow hold a personal agenda for each one of us on Christmas Eve. We hope tonight that memories will be created. Our prayer is that each of us who need a divine touch of encouragement and healing might be surprised by joy as we encounter that divine touch personally in this service this evening. If some feel alienated and distant from God, we're hoping that this will be a time of reconciliation and new beginnings for you as you proceed on your spiritual journey. So, holding these high expectations, it's very fitting that I welcome you to what we traditionally call at Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, the loveliest night of the year.
Heavenly Father, we join your angels in chorus this evening to proclaim that we love you for sending us your Son, Jesus. Through him, we can sing and celebrate life. Give us a sense of your presence here and help us to know as never before that you love us and you care for us. Amen. As you're seated this evening, please greet those around you with the warmth of this special evening.
The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth.
Well, that holy night so long ago was mentioned by prophets centuries before it actually occurred. God loved us so much that He came in the form of a baby. And this baby, Jesus, would be both human and divine. He would pay the price for our sins, and we would be forgiven forever. What a great story. How incredible. That event not only changed the course of history, but it changed the very substance of our lives. So let's read that story again, as it's told in both the Old and New Testaments, as we read responsibly. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God.
This is the voice of the man who calls out. Prepare in the desert the way of the Lord. Make the road in dry lands straight for God. Every valley shall be raised up. Every mountain and hill should be made flat. The rough ground should be made smooth.
Then the glory of the Lord will be shown. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed.
And all the others be taxed. And Joseph also went out from Galilee unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse's wife, being great with child.
And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
She laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the
inn. Thank you.
through the ages, the response of those who believe in the Christmas miracle has been to allow God to love them through Jesus Christ. Let's read together now about those first visitors who responded in faith to this Christmas miracle. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angels said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people.
It's been our prayer and our hope tonight that every one of you will find the joy of Christmas Eve. Joy rooted in the hope that with God's help, we're going to make it. In spite of what for some of us might seem to be impossible problems, overwhelming challenges, or burdens too heavy to carry alone. Why do we expect such a miracle? Well, one simple answer, because it's Christmas time. Because we've been here other Christmas Eve nights and we've heard stories of how God has touched people and surprised them and blessed them and healed them. You see, at Christmas time, God Himself became one of us. He walked in our shoes and He's experienced what we feel. And therefore, He understands when we cry out to Him with our deepest needs. God understands a broken heart, betrayal, disappointment, unfulfilled dreams, loneliness. He understands a death that came too early, or what it feels like to love and not be loved in return. The good news of Christmas is that our God understands our needs, and equally important, He's willing to use His divine power now to help us as He stands with us in this life. A 10-year-old boy was choosing a puppy for Christmas, and he had a whole litter of eight to choose from. Finally, after thinking about it, he chose the littlest one. And the breeder asked, "Are you sure you want that puppy? He's the runt of the litter. He will never be as lively, and he certainly won't be able to keep up with the other dogs." And at that point, the little boy pulled up his pant leg and showed the breeder a very specially constructed shoe with a brace attached that ran up his leg. And then he said, "You know, sir, I want that puppy because I'll be able to love him better than most people. You see, I understand limitations. I understand weaknesses." And you see, that's the message of Christmas. God became one of us, and now when we pray to Him, we know He understands our limitations, our weaknesses, our heartaches, our brokenness. God really cares about what's happening to you tonight. And we don't have to earn His love any more than that little puppy had to earn the boy's love. It was the nature of the little guy just to love the puppy. God loves us as we are. That's the amazing news of Christmas. He loves us unconditionally with all of our quirks and oddities and sins. And above all, He understands. This kind of divine, unconditional Christmas love has a way of touching and healing and changing people on Christmas Eve. I want to share a true story with you, one you might have heard before. It illustrates the healing power of God's love, which so many of us need on any given Christmas Eve. A Christian school teacher named Miss Thompson had a student named Teddy Stollard. He was a deadpan. He was sort of disinterested in school, and he sat in her class with a blank look on his face. Partially, she understood Teddy's behavior because she had read his office records. First grade, Teddy shows promise, but a poor home situation. Second grade, mother is seriously ill. Teddy receives little help from home. Third grade, Teddy's a good boy, but a slow learner, and his mother died this year. Fourth grade, Teddy is very slow, but well-behaved. His father shows no interest. Well, Christmas came in Miss Thompson's class, and all the students brought her presents. She was surprised to find one from Teddy Stollard. It was wrapped in brown paper, and it was held together with some scotch tape. So as she opened it, this old gaudy bracelet fell out with half the stones missing, and then a bottle of cheap perfume. Not wanting to offend Teddy, she put the bracelet on her wrist and she splashed a little perfume on her neck. At the end of the day, Teddy lingered behind. And then he slowly came over to her desk and he said, "You know, Miss Thompson, you smell just like my mom. And her bracelet looks real pretty on you too. I'm glad you like my presents." From that day on, Miss Thompson decided she was going to make a commitment to love this little guy And by the end of the year, Teddy, because of her love, had caught up with most of the students. After he left her class, Miss Thompson didn't hear from Teddy for a long time. And then one day she received a note. "Dear Miss Thompson, I wanted you to be the first to know. I'll be graduating second in my class. Love, Teddy Stollard." 4 years later, another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, they just told me I'll be graduating first in my class. I wanted you to be the first to know. The university has not been easy, but I liked it. Love, Teddy." 4 years later, another note. "Dear Miss Thompson, as of today, I'm Theodore Stollard, MD. How about that? I wanted you to be the first to know. I'm getting married next month. Would you come and sit where my mother would have sat if she were alive? You're the only family I have left now. Dad died last year. Love, Teddy." Well, Miss Thompson went to the wedding and sat there where Teddy's mother would have sat. You see, she deserved to sit there. She had done something for Teddy that he never could forget. She had given him unconditional love when he needed it the most, a love he could do nothing to deserve. The only thing he could do was to reach out and receive it as a gift. If love from a teacher can work such a miracle in a life of a hurting, struggling little boy, imagine what God's love can do for you tonight if you'd only reach out in faith to receive it. Because you see, he was one of us. He understands weaknesses and needs, and he wants to touch and heal us. Unfortunately, many of us resist God's attempt to love us. And you ask how? Well, with our overloaded schedules, our misguided priorities, chasing things that won't really matter 10 years from now, all of which have sort of slowly pulled us away from church. And we didn't really get angry at God. We just sort of ignored him and looked up one day and we realized that we were a very long way away from him. Or we resist his love by believing we've done things that are unforgivable and that makes us unlovable. Or we resist his love by our growing intellectual sophistication that through the years has made us skeptical and cynical and erected a huge barricade to the mystery of God's love breaking through to us. The good news of Christmas that Jesus brought to us on that first night in Bethlehem is this fact. God is not a judge bent on punishing you for your sins. Just the opposite. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world, God so loved you, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, should not be punished, but have everlasting life." So tonight I want to ask you a question. Will you let God love you? That's why he invited you here to be with us. I want to invite you to consider reestablishing your relationship with God, and that's done by trusting his Christmas gift, Jesus, as your Savior, accepting his forgiving love and letting him just kind of wash away the things of which you're ashamed and make you brand new. He's waiting for you tonight with open arms. That's the good news of Christmas. In fact, so many things happen Christmas Eve. Maybe you'd want to make a decision to come back to church and try it again regularly next year. God has all kinds of spiritual food to give us every weekend in this place. You see, God wants to be your closest friend every day so that next year you won't have to come on Christmas Eve facing life's challenges and crises and burdens all alone. He wants to partner with you. He wants to share his divine resources with you, so you don't have to do it alone. And so this Christmas Eve, our message is simple. Would you accept the gift of Jesus? And if you do, you'll find healing and peace and indescribable joy. In fact, I want to invite you now to stand with me and proclaim the joy to the world that the Lord has come to love us. Thank you.
what's our response to this child? Sometimes when we come to a Christmas service, we think in terms of what we might get out of it. But especially on Christmas Eve, we're here not so much to receive, but to say, thanks, God, for the gift of your Son, Jesus, the Savior of the world. But one of the ways that we do this, besides the singing and the scriptures and the prayers, is by giving to God's work through a gift of our offering. And so tonight, as the ushers come forward, let's respond to the wonderful gift that God's given to us in gratitude for that first special, silent, and holy night.
Come now to that beautiful moment on Christmas Eve when we light the candles of Christmas. Candles that represent the warmth of God's love that reached out to you tonight. Candles that represent a light of hope that will never be taken from us. Candles that symbolize a light that shines better the greater the darkness. So as we light these candles, we trust that they will symbolize a growing faith on your part that God really does love you. And that tonight, His light has begun to shine in your darkness, and that light has replaced the darkness with the healing comfort of His amazing grace. This is our prayer for you this Christmas Eve.
Love of God the Father, and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ, his Son and our Savior, and the fellowship, the power, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit empower you to love those whom God has called you to love. Amen. And a Merry Christmas to all.